what do you do as an employment lawyer?
Anything related to the workplace. So if you're concerned about, you know, the way you were hired or not hired, maybe you think it's discrimination or something, an issue in the workplace, maybe you're subject to an investigation or you've complained and you're now being retaliated against. Maybe you're not being paid fairly. By, you know, in terms of salary or bonus or benefits or something like that. Or maybe if you're terminated and you think that was illegal. So pretty much running the gamut from start to finish on employment issues.
You know, we have not talked much about if you didn't get hired for something.
Yeah.
Because that has got to be a hard thing to prove, that you were discriminated against in the interview process. I know people can feel like that when there's maybe repeated companies that they haven't been hired at. But how hard is it for you to parse through whether someone hasn't been hired because of some legal reason?
Yeah, it's difficult if you're trying to prove discrimination. Obviously, easier if you're focused on what questions were asked and what information you imparted as a result of the interview, right? So in other words, if you weren't hired, you're not sure because of your age, your gender, or any of the protected classes, of which there are many in the state of Illinois. So you're right, that's really hard to uncover because you have to determine who was hired for that job. Most of the time, people call me and they don't know the answer to that question. But sometimes they do, and that allows me to ask more questions in terms of why this person. Was the person who was hired under 40 and my clients over 40? Was the person.
But that wouldn't just be the. Once you get that answer, that doesn't mean that something illegal happened.
No, but it's a start, though. At least I have one fact supporting an age discrimination claim. And then I get to ask why. Was this person more qualified, less qualified? I get to start asking questions to compare the two.
Do you start to get asking if it's age discrimination, let's
sure.
say? Do you get to say, give me all the ages of the people you've hired in the last 5 years?
Not without suing them.
Right.
Yeah. So in a demand letter, no, they're not going to provide me that information typically.
Mm-hmm.
During a settlement negotiation, probably not either, although sometimes they will send information that I can look at only to determine, if they think they didn't do anything wrong, they'll give me that information.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, but if they don't, it's sort of a red flag, but not that unusual, so it's not much a red flag if I don't get that information.
I'm probably spending too much time on an area of your practice that you don't get too much work for.
I don't, because it's so hard to prove. Okay. You're right. Okay. No, I mean, you know.
I didn't mean to waste your time there, Patrick.
Oh, yeah, well, it's sort of wasteful. It's
no,
not
I was
wasteful,
just,
John.
We've never talked about that. I was
it's
curious
hard.
How
that's
you do
that's
that.
Hard. But, John, just to put a fine point on it, people come to me and say, hey, they asked me about this health condition or something that is noticeable in the interview. But say on Zoom and you're talking to someone in person, they said, they asked me about this or that. Is that proper? Most of the time, no. If it's not, you know, something about your ability to do your job, then no, it's not proper. So those are a little bit easier. It's the things that aren't as obvious that you have to uncover.
So if you have a different ability that is physical and noticeable over Zoom or an in-person interview, there's no way in which they can call that out and ask you about that?
The way they have to ask you is, can you do the essential functions of this job?
So they're allowed to ask you that?
Absolutely. And they can, you know, the thing, though, is maybe they're looking at you thinking there's no way, but they can't ask you about what they're looking at that may or may not be a disability. They can only ask you if you can do the job. And then
they can't say because of your missing arm. I'm not trying to make a joke, but let's
no,
say
it's not a joke.
They can't say because of that. Can you do this? They can just generally say, hey, are you able to do this job?
Yeah, and then you can get into what does the job entail and say, well, yes, but I may need this accommodation to do it, and then you can have that discussion. But they can't overtly say, oh, I see that, you know, X, Y, and Z. I don't know. Can you do the job? That is really a red flag.
Do you face that issue sometimes?
Oh, absolutely, for sure, for sure.
Interesting. And that's just probably more for physical disabilities, but of course there's mental ones.
And
too.
I was going to say, in terms of mental health, sometimes they go too far in an interview. And if they start asking about anything related to your mental health history and your prior job, and at that point in the interview process, totally improper.
Are they allowed to ask about your social life?
Only You probably not, because it seems like it wouldn't be relevant to the job, only in terms of maybe hours you can work, but you can't, not exactly as you put it, John, no.
I guess what I'm asking is, I know some people have felt like people have, and maybe this is more long ago when I was starting in the workplace, people would ask you questions to try and identify your lifestyle a little bit.
Well, now they can see that on social media. And they are allowed to look at you on social media, okay? And that answers a lot of those questions. You know, you imagine the pictures that are posted on social media, they may see that. And, you know, it's entirely proper to think, you know what? I don't really like the way that person parties. You know what I mean? Seriously.
Even for, like, just a couple old pictures at a bar or something? I mean, it's up to the employer. They
can do totally
what they
want. There's nothing, per se, illegal about that, John.
Yeah. Interesting.
Just careful what you post. But no, people usually aren't careful what they post. So those are the consequences.
Okay. Are you thinking of one person in particular?
You mean?
No.
Oh, you looked at me like.
You seem to be like judging someone about how they party.
Oh, yeah. People have asked me all the time.
Your kids, are they getting into trouble that you don't want
them? My kids are not troublemakers, John. Okay. They're very good kids.
312-981-7200 to call or text in about any sorts of these questions. Patrick, why don't we take a break here, and we'll answer some people's calls that come in or questions that come in. And then you wanted to break down some of the new laws for 2025.
A lot of them, yeah.
A lot of new laws for 2025.
Good ones, too.
We'll get to that with Patrick Dolan here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Patrick Dolan is over there on the other side of the studio. He is
in a different building.
Yes. No, you are right here.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. That's right.
Conti and Dolan, yes, of Karen Conti, is the firm that he works for. His name is right there on the building. 312-332-7800 is how they reach you, right, Patrick?
That's correct.
312-981-7200 is how you reach us. And someone texted in regards to questions during an interview. I once interviewed for, not going to say the company's name. In the Chicago area, the HR director made a point of asking me specifically, what are the ages of my kids? And I told her that really wasn't any of her business. She said, well, we're a family-oriented company. And I said, well, I have children, said the texter. And I left it at that. She then told me that my interview with the hiring manager was called off. The story goes on some more, but Patrick, is that overstepping things to be like...
Well, it is, because I think what they're really getting at is, you know, what are your responsibilities outside the office? Like, are you going to need to leave early? Are you going to need to go to some doctor's appointments for your kids? Are you going to be here on time? Are you going to, you know, be able to stay till 5? I mean, there's a lot of reasons why that question is, frankly, illegal.
Well, they could ask you all those questions without asking if you have kids, right?
Yeah, they should ask
Here's
you...
Here's what times we work. Does that work for you?
Yes, and there's lots of ways to get at that information properly, and that's exactly one way. Say, here are the hours. You have a problem with those hours. Answer no. Move on. It has nothing to do with your kids.
It seems to be that this texter ended up sending a letter with an attorney to this company, and I think this HR person was let go.
Okay.
Because, as you're saying, prying into people's personal life to make inferences of what they could do in their job, no good.
And here's my concern about that HR person. It probably wasn't just this one question that was asked improperly that led to, was it her?
Him or her.
To their termination, right? Because that is such an obviously improper question. She's probably asked other improper questions.
Right.
So it's probably not the first time someone has complained, is my point.
The texter then followed up that they thought it was an effort to determine their age.
Well,
could be.
Maybe, but I'm more concerned about the schedule. I mean, what is that? If your kids are older, what? They would be less concerned because you have less responsibilities?
Who knows?
That's not necessarily the case. My kids are older and they're still, you know, taking up my time, John.
Also, to then say we're a family-oriented company, that would be weird to ask if someone said they had no kids, right? Like, well, we're a family-oriented company. You can't be discriminated against because you chose not to have kids, right?
Right. Well, that is an odd thing to say, and I don't know if that's like a CYA. Oh, by the way, that's why we say that. You know what I mean? Really? I don't know. It's very strange. Was it like a religious-based question, too? I mean, there's some overtones to that, too. So
I see.
I don't know. You're getting at a lot of stuff that has nothing to do with the job.
Part of me goes, there's no way people ask these questions during interviews.
John.
That's what I was going to say. Well, no, because I'm thinking back to my interviews, not here.
Okay.
I'm thinking of other places that I've interviewed, and nothing sticks out to me as overly illegal, but definitely informal, right? sometimes you're not with HR. Sometimes they're small companies. I've worked at nonprofit that had a very small, this is not Block Club Chicago either. People don't start calling my bosses. An earlier nonprofit I worked for, I remember it was just me and the guy who ran the company. There was no HR in there.
Yeah.
And this guy was really clearly just trying to get a feel of like who I was.
Yeah.
And we were talking very off the cuff. And I didn't find anything wrong with it. But if someone else were to be in there and had that same conversation, they might think differently. So I imagine my overall point is, of course, there are some terrible interview questions that are asked every single day in this country.
And frankly, a lot of HR folks are folks who have those responsibilities, don't know what they can and cannot ask. Just because you don't know what the law is doesn't mean you can't break it. You know what I mean? I mean, so there you go.
Okay. 312-981-7200. Please bring in your employment questions to Patrick. Maybe something squirrely. I use that word a lot with you, Patrick.
You do. You like that word.
That's just what I...
Is that because you're not sure if it's legal or illegal?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like, it's like squirrely. Like, it's weird or it's odd or something squirrely.
I mean, it's a good word, John.
Well, squirrels, to me, the WGN
here we go.
Listeners know this. My relationship with squirrels is not good.
Okay.
One of the many times I filled in for John Williams, producer Pete and I were talking about what we wanted to talk about on the show. And, you know, when I fill in for John, those are big shoes to fill.
Yeah, they are.
And I was like, you know, there wasn't much happening in the news. Mm. I was worried about filling the time, finding it interesting. And we just went on to the show because the show had to start at 10 o'clock. And I just briefly started the show talking about how I was having trouble with my bird feeders and squirrels. And then the next 4 hours flew by as the fastest 4 hours in WGN history, as every single person out there has suggestions.
Right, exactly. Did you implement one and did it work?
I tried. Honestly, I would go out there for a couple weeks spraying Pam oil all over it, which worked, but it didn't work for my mental health or like my, that's not a good use of my time. Ultimately, I went with someone's, like the upside down cone look.
Okay, yep.
But I don't like the way it looks.
So there we are again.
I just stopped feeding the birds.
Okay.
I was like, whatever, birds. You got enough other places.
That's too bad. I feel sorry for the birds, John.
This is a long way to say I use the word squirrely because I have I mean something nefarious. Maybe.
Possibly. Right. That's the whole point. Okay, John, thanks.
Boy, that filled 2 minutes. Hey, listener, you're never getting that 2 minutes back, ever. There's nothing you can do about it.
They've all turned it off.
No, they're coming back, baby. Okay.
Here we go.
Give us some new laws. What do we got coming up in 2025?
Well, let's talk about a number of them, John. We have a number of laws, and I've picked some that I think are particularly interesting.
City, state, or federal?
These are all state laws. These are Illinois state laws. Okay. I'm going to start with one that pertains to you.
I'm a little worried, but...
Well, you maybe should be, but listen to this and maybe not afterwards.
Okay.
It's called... It actually went into effect a couple of months ago.
Okay. Okay?
It's called the Digital Voice and Likeness Protection Act. Are you familiar with that?
I could guess what it was, but you tell me.
Okay, then I'll just get into it.
Yeah,
okay.
Get into it.
So the purpose of the act is to protect performers and individuals from wrongful use of artificial voice or melody replicas, right? That's the protection. And the provision is supposed to protect the individual's voice or likeness in the place of work so it can't be used in an AI format, replicated, instead of you actually doing the work.
So if I was worried about one day WGN just saying, or another station, saying, we don't want actual John Hansen anymore. He's going to go off on a squirrel tangent. Let's plug in AI John Hansen to host Let's Get Legal.
Yes.
I'm protected in Illinois from
that?
You
are.
Oh.
So they can't put something in your contract that allows them to use your likeness, images, AI, etc., instead of hiring you.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Could they, what's to stop them from taking a lot of my personality, changing the voice ever so slightly in the computer, and then just plugging that one out instead?
Well, should we try it?
I shouldn't have given them that idea.
No, I was going to say.
Never mind.
Why did you just say that?
That's really good. Okay, so Illinois is probably on the forefront of that. I imagine Illinois, California, that's written into a lot of contracts, or we see that in Hollywood through their union negotiations, through the strikes that were held last year, the year before that. Or maybe it was this year, it's all rolls together. But the point being that normally that's a contract thing between a union and bosses. Now it's a state law here in Illinois.
That's exactly right.
That's good. That is a good one for me.
I think so. That's why I led with that, John.
What about my likeness? What about my face? Can they use that? Or is it voice and likeness?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Okay.
It's the same thing.
I'm not saying someone would want to use my face to sell anything. Probably recommend it against. Yeah. I was trying to think of a product that might be good for that.
Okay, we'll just move on.
Yeah, we'll move on.
I'm not going to say anything about
it. What else you got?
Okay, so the Illinois Human Rights Act was just amended. I think we touched on that before, but I want to bring it up again.
Please, because I don't remember it.
Okay, I'll tell you what we talked about.
Okay.
So it increased the time you can file a charge from the termination or whatever from 300 days to 2 years. Now, that's a huge deal. That is probably the longest, if not one of the longest, statutes of limitations in the country. Because under federal law, you have to file your claim within 300 days of the harm, which is usually the termination.
Okay.
The day you suffered termination. So I am forever in the office setting statute, like setting, you know, deadlines when we have to file certain things triggered off of that event. 300 days later, we have to file the EEOC charge, for example, under federal law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, under the Illinois Human Rights Act, they've given us 2 years.
That's huge.
Huge. And that goes into effect January 1 of 25. So I think we had a caller last time who said, what about if, like, a year and a half ago, something bad happened to me? Can I use that when the law changed? The answer is no.
So even if it was within the new window of opportunity, if it came after the law was passed, you must go use the 300-day rule.
Yeah. So in other words,
they should have thought about that when they pressed it.
Yeah. And any claim you have before the law changes, you still have the 300-day statute of limitations. But starting January 1, John, 2 years.
Okay.
That's a big deal.
A texter, by the way, texted in, and we'll get to more laws in a second. Hi, John. Just wanted to tell you that if you use bird seed with hot pepper in it, it says so on the bag, the squirrels won't eat it. I'm here to dispel that myth. I used many different brands of seed with hot peppers in it. I tried to, at one point, dash hot sauce on my seed. I would be spraying those little pepper flakes that you'd put on a pizza. I tried everything, and it would keep the squirrels away for the first couple times they'd go up to it. They'd be like, this ain't good. Then they get over it, and then they eat it anyways.
Iridian, should I just leave at this point?
I mean, we could do a whole, we only have till 5.
I've left and came back.
Right.
Headling.
I'm just saying, I just wanted to just point out that that didn't work for me. Maybe it works for other people, too. All right, Patrick Dolan, you stay right there.
Okay.
Keep studying those laws. We'll get into some of the new laws of 2025. But Patrick, you wanted to talk about some new laws that are in effect or soon will be. You gave us one that extends how long you have to file a claim
under the Human Rights Act, Illinois Human Rights Act.
Right. You talked about protecting voice and likeness of performers.
Yep.
Thank you. And what do we have next?
So let's revisit, John, the protected classes under the Illinois Human Rights Act, because they're about to add a new one. So
okay.
Let's revisit what we have.
Before we do that, federally there's some. Illinois expands that even further, right?
That's right. Okay. So now we're talking about Illinois.
Do you want me to name them?
Sure. Of course. This is a good little test. Go for
it. Race.
Yes.
Religion.
Okay.
Age.
Yeah.
Sexual orientation or identity.
Yes.
Okay. That's all I got. Oh, gender. Yep. I don't know. Pregnancy status? What else is on there?
Yeah. So we have race and color.
Yep.
Religion, sex, sexual harassment. Well, that's a gender-based thing.
Mm-hmm.
National origin.
Oh, right.
Ancestry.
Ancestry.
That's right. Age 40 and over. Sexual orientation, you said. Gender identity, you said. Disability.
Oh, that's right.
Pregnancy.
Ooh, yeah.
Arrest record.
Oh, really?
That's a big one. Citizenship and immigration status and military status.
Okay.
All those are protected categories under the Illinois Human Rights Act. Cannot discriminate, harass, or retaliate based on those things in the workplace.
And you're adding one more to that list? Not you, but the legislature did.
Well, I
you don't
I
have
am.
That power.
I am right now.
Okay, go ahead.
So January 1st, we'll expand to include family responsibilities. So in other words, a company cannot take adverse action against an employee based on the employee's family responsibilities.
That means like taking care of either their kids or their parents?
Yes, it is. And so they have a medical issue, you know, et cetera.
Hold on, what if they have to leave work all the time way earlier than they're supposed to?
So here, that's a really good question.
Okay.
The law does not require a company to, quote, accommodate a family responsibility job. The person still has to do the job, but it can't discriminate, i.e. treat them differently because of those responsibilities, or harass someone. You know, what's going on? Let me give you a perfect example of this, because I had this issue with a client a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have this law in place. So A client came to me. She had a son with severe disabilities. She was working for one of the big pharmas. She was working remotely, pursuant to a policy that allowed her to work remotely. Okay. She was able to take care of her severely disabled son, who requires around-the-clock care, all right, and get her job done. No issues. Okay. Able to do her job. She did her job really well, etc. Company recently changes a policy. Everyone has to come back in the workplace.
Seen that a lot.
Okay. Yes, you do. So she said, I can't. I cannot have full-time care because I can't afford it. And I've been doing my job perfectly. My job isn't changing. Why do I have to do this? Okay. So under the Americans with Disabilities Act, there's something that's called association disability. Okay. If you're associated with someone who's disabled, you're protected. The problem is, just like this law, they don't have to accommodate you.
Right.
Okay. That's a big difference, but they can't discriminate against you. So they said, the company said, it's an accommodation for us to allow you to
work
still
from
work from home,
right,
as opposed to do what everybody else is doing. I said, okay, there's a big company. There has got to be a person who still works remotely, who doesn't have a child with disabilities, and is allowed to continue to work remotely. Hmm. The company, HR, the legal person says, no. I talked to my client. We're going to find this person. Okay?
So let me just make sure the audience
sure.
and I understand what
okay.
you're saying. If truly everybody was back in the building 9 to 5, 5 days a week, then she would have been asking for an accommodation, which before and now, or after January 1st, the company would not have to have provided the accommodation.
Correct.
But if they are allowing other people to work from home for other reason or status in the company, or the bosses really like this person, want to keep this person, and they're allowed to work from home, now that shows that your client is being discriminated against because
exactly.
her motivation or reason for wanting to work from home is not being allowed.
Yes, that's okay. exactly correct.
Interesting.
So I said, okay, we're not asking for an accommodation. I think she's being discriminated against. They're like, nope. We found someone who actually was in her group, was working remotely in a different state, and they said, you don't have to work. You don't have to come and be in the office. I said, bingo, that's the person I need.
Mm-hmm.
So I come back and said, this person, who has none of the same issues my client does, i.e. a child with a severe disability, is not being asked to come into the office despite the in-office policy.
So you're trying to find the inconsistency in the
yes,
rules and the
application. That's what discrimination
thereof.
Is all about. Yeah, disparate treatment. What happens? We settle. We settle. We get a good separation package. She decides to leave because she's so unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
She now has a new, better job.
Can I just say this is why lawyers are important in this mechanism? Because if I wouldn't, first of all, I wouldn't have thought about that. If I was in that sort of situation, I went to my company and they're like, sorry, we're not legally, we don't have to accommodate. I'd have been like, yeah, you're right. Okay. I wouldn't have thought, oh, wait, there might be other people
yeah.
that get to work from home
yeah.
for a variety of other reasons.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Based on my experience, I knew there was somebody, John.
Yeah.
I knew there was somebody.
Well, I think that's interesting. And that's how you show discrimination, is it's not just how your client is being treated or how you, the listener, is being treated. It's often how is it compared to other people in similar jobs, right?
That's exactly correct. Well, good summary, John.
I can do your job. We should do a job swap.
Oh, okay. Let's do it.
April 1st.
Starting now?
No. Like on April Fool's Day.
Excited.
You can host my show. I'll be an employment
okay.
lawyer.
We'll just flip.
I think you would do better at my job than I would do at yours.
I don't know about that at all. No, I don't agree with that. By the way, can I sit in your seat? Because I
yeah.
think you have a better chair.
You'd have to hit the buttons too,
okay.
like me.
Oh, okay. That could be confusing.
We're ready, and I'll help you on out.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Let's take a break. We got
sure.
more laws to get to. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 720 WGN Patrick Dolan. Literally pulling me to the window. That's why I was late to the microphone to look at the setup for the parade. Patrick, I have a job to do on this radio station.
I forgot what we were doing.
Like a 10-year-old
I'm so excited.
Boy, Patrick Dolan dragged me to the window. Now this is on me, Patrick.
Okay.
I should know the clock.
This is your job, John. Don't blame me.
You're absolutely right. But yes, it's parade. And what he wanted me to look at, folks, I just want to paint a picture. We're at Studio D. We look at the Michigan Avenue Bridge. He wanted me to notice that the lights parade had bleachers at the end of it, like every parade that's ever happened in the history of time. He was so excited they had bleachers.
There's nobody there yet, though.
Well, they're going to
fill
in
soon. Can we just go sit down?
No, we have a show to do.
We have tickets? I mean, after the show's up. Can we do it from the bleachers?
Patrick, you are an employment lawyer. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. You're breaking down new laws in the new year that we're quickly approaching here. Hard to believe. You mentioned adding... Oh, can I go back 1 second?
Sure, fine.
You mentioned that family obligation cannot be something that people discriminate against in Illinois as of January 1st, 2025. You mentioned citizenship or immigration status as an existing protected class.
Yeah.
I have a hard time... I get the immigration status, like whether you're a citizen or a green card holder. Is that the reference?
Yeah.
But it's not... They're allowed to know if you're illegally in the country and not legally allowed to work. Of course,
yes, of
you can
course.
Say I'm
you
not
have to prove
hire.
Your right to work.
Right.
Right. Yes.
I just want to make sure, because I'm sure people were wondering about that. That doesn't mean that a company rightfully can and should not hire people on their payroll that are not allowed to work legally
in
the country.
And they're supposed to get records to support their person's ability to work. That's their obligation as an employer.
But what the discrimination is in Illinois is saying, they don't have to be a citizen. You can't discriminate them because they're not a citizen. If they're a green card holder, if they're a legal permanent resident, whatever the classes may be, they can't only give raises or only promote people that are citizens versus people that are green card holders.
Yes. Once they're permitted to work through valid, like you're talking about, valid identification, et cetera, then they cannot be discriminated against.
Is that just Illinois, or is that one of the federal protections?
Well, most of the states have it, and the federal laws have protections as well.
Okay. I didn't know if that was... Mm-hmm. Thank you for clarifying that,
because
when I hear citizenship, I was like, well... But obviously, there's tons of people in the country that are not citizens who are legally allowed to work. I should know. I was married to one for a long time before they became a citizen. Okay, what's next? What's another new law?
You know what? Let's do one more added to the protected classes for Illinois Human Rights Act, and it's for... reproductive health decisions. Okay. Hmm. So there's a list of actual perceived characteristics upon which the employer cannot rely to take adverse action. And those include a person's decision about...
Can you talk directly into the mic? You're kind of off
sorry.
To the side. Yeah.
A person's use of contraception, fertility or some sort of sterilization care, assisted reproductive technologies, miscarriages, etc. They cannot be discriminated against based on, quote, reproductive health decisions. That's a new protected category into the Illinois Human Rights Act.
So if your worker has an abortion and you find out about it somehow, there's absolutely no way you can use that as some sort of discriminatory mechanism.
Correct. Termination of pregnancy is one of the reproductive health decisions that is protected.
Right. And I'm not saying that there are many reproductive decisions to make. I wasn't just zeroing in on that one, but it's always a hot button issue.
It is.
So.
And that's protected now.
Someone wanted to know, and maybe I don't think this falls under that category.
Okay.
This is about a female employee who is, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying she's breastfeeding, but she's pumping during the day.
Yep.
2 times a day plus 1 hour at lunch.
Yep.
Is there discrimination protections against that?
There's actually accommodation requirements for that. So there's plenty of laws that require a company to accommodate for a breastfeeding mother at work or someone who has to go into a private room to pump, whatever it is. There are requirements that an employer has to follow. Okay. Accommodation requirements.
By state law?
Yes.
Okay. All right, what else you got for us here?
So, the other one we have starting January 1st is the pay transparency in Illinois job postings. This is a big one. You wouldn't think it would be, John, but it's a big one.
Okay, what does this require?
So, for employers who have 15 or more employees, they must disclose the pay scale and benefits in all job postings. So that's wage, salary, commission, bonus, any sort of pay, and all benefits. You have to disclose either exactly what it is or the salary range for the given position. On internal postings, on external postings, if it's a third party, like Indeed or something like that, who is posting your jobs as a company, they have to follow the same requirements.
I feel like a lot of jobs already did that, but are there a ton that don't post these things?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And as someone who is trying to get at what people make in a job, that's a really big deal.
Hmm. I sometimes do chuckle at when I used to see the ranges of things. It'd be like, this person will make between $40,000 and $180,000. I'm like, well, there's a difference between those two.
It has to be a good faith range, by the
good
way.
Good faith range,
yeah.
Which...
Yeah, that's not a good faith range, John.
Okay, so that's all Illinois jobs?
Yes, all Illinois jobs.
For any company that has over 15 employees?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, all right. What else do you have?
We have... Now, this is a little less exciting, but...
Oh, they've been exciting? Just kidding. They're very good, Patrick.
I thought they were exciting.
They're great. They're great.
Listen, a lot of people have these sorts of issues.
No, you're absolutely right. Thanks, I was just joking.
Thanks. Pay stub. Now, that's something you may not think is real exciting.
No.
But it seems like forever have to ask for a pay stub for a client's final paycheck to figure out a number of things.
I bet I know what some of them are. How much PTO have they accrued?
Yes. Number one, if we're playing, what's that show? Family Feud.
Okay.
That would be the number one answer. PTO.
Absolutely.
Right. And you have sick leave time, may not be paid out upon termination. You have certain taxes or 401k or things deducted. You need to know what those are. And so now you actually have a right to get that pay stub from your final check, which a lot of companies don't provide. Maybe it's done, by way of direct
ADP,
deposit.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Well, let me just, can I stop you for one second?
Please.
This is just a PSA.
Okay.
Everyone, check your pay stubs and get in the habit of doing it, because you might be surprised that mistakes happen.
Happen a lot.
And people don't look at their pay stub anymore.
Don't.
Like you're saying, it's not paper checks.
Right.
They don't log into the app every time. I am diligent, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. It's because years ago, I worked for a company that for an entire year was not paying me the rate that I thought that I was supposed to be making because I stupidly didn't look at the pay stubs.
Who was it?
I'm not telling you. It was no one I work for now.
Right, of course.
And now, very diligently, everyone should look at the pay stub. If nothing else, also, how much have you accrued in your 401k?
Yeah.
How much more do you have left under the federal guidelines to get in a year? Maybe you want to up that up a little bit. What is your PTO? What is your PTO policy? Are you going to lose some of these hours that you haven't taken yet? The number of people that do not use all their PTO is absurd. People should use every possible hour they can. Not necessarily all the sick time. You can use that when you're sick, but there are so many people in this world that don't get PTO. I always feel like if you have PTO, you should use it.
Wait, and this is something that people really don't know. So a lot of folks now have, quote, unlimited PTO, right? That's the policy. So companies think they don't have to pay out PTO upon termination because they have an unlimited policy. That is not the case in Illinois.
Right.
You are still entitled to 40 hours of PTO, okay, minus whatever you took. So what I'm forever telling people is keep track of the PTO. Oh, I have an unlimited. No. If you leave 6 months from now and you haven't used a day, we have to figure out what you're prorated, 20 days or whatever it is. Then you're entitled to that upon payout. Most companies do not know that, and they think they can get away with not paying out PTO if they have an unlimited policy. That's not the case.
I will tell you, the unlimited PTO thing, not all it's cracked up to be. I find that people, and I know that sounds crazy to people, but I've worked at places with quote-unquote unlimited PTO, and you think, what a magical system. No, because people end up taking less.
Absolutely.
Because there's this undue pressure of, should I not, when it's unlimited and there's no rules about it, that almost puts the onus on you to not take it when you know the hours you have.
That's 100% my experience.
Okay. 100%. 847 texted, did you say sick leave has to be paid out at termination?
No. Only if it's a company policy, which almost no companies have. So if I said that, I misspoke, it is absolutely not paid out typically. Nor does it have to be.
Some people can roll over sick time, unused sick time, into like a short-term disability bank, stuff like that.
Exactly.
None of that needs to be paid out either.
No, only PTO. Only PTO.
Yeah, that makes sense. But all PTO must be whether you leave voluntarily or they
make
you leave.
Does not matter, yeah. You're getting it paid out with your final paycheck or next regularly scheduled payday.
312-981-7200 if you have more questions. Any other laws? We got about a minute and a half. Although our next guest might be a little bit stalled behind, so you might be staying longer. Do you have one more here?
Under the Illinois Personnel Records Review Act, you can get a copy of your personnel file, which I ask for all the time. Because if someone's terminated for allegedly for performance reasons, I always want to know whether there's something in there that supports that termination. Because if there isn't, I can argue that it's actually a different... I have evidence to argue that it's a different reason, discrimination, retaliation, or whatever. So... you have a right to get that. I, as your lawyer, have a right to request and get that, a copy of it sent to you. You can go and copy yourself. Nobody does.
Should I be getting that personnel file even at companies I work for and everything seems fine? Should I, like, once a year check that thing?
I think that's a great idea because, you know, chances are you don't really know what's in there. And when I need to know, when there's an issue, and you're like, I have no idea. I've never looked at it. I've worked here 7 years, and I have no idea. I think that's not where you want to be. It would be great if you looked at it. And you're entitled to under the law.
Because who knows what you might see in there that they put in there that maybe they didn't tell you about that you'd want to know about. Patrick, you look ready to read something else, and you don't have time for it. We have to take the news break. Don't be so disappointed.
Sorry.
It's important.
Okay.
Our next guest isn't quite here yet. The traffic was a little crazier today because of the parade.
Is she in the parade?
Maybe she is. Yeah. Maybe she's in the bleachers that you were pointing out earlier. So, Patrick, if she's here and we're kicking you away, 312-332-7800 is how people can reach you.
And I'll provide that information to them.
Absolutely. If she doesn't arrive, then we'll talk to you in a couple minutes.
All right. Sounds great.
If a company gives employees 40 hours vacation per year, are they still required to abide by the 40 hours of sick time? Before we get into it, is there a requirement for every company to offer every employee sick time in the state of Illinois? No, right?
No. But, no, you have to work a certain number of hours to qualify. If you do, then yes, as I guess how I would say it.
Chicago now has sick time, though.
Yes.
That is mandated for employees of a certain hours.
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's say a company says, I'm just going to give you vacation time. Does that cover their butts and they don't have to give you sick time then, too?
No, they do. That does not cover their butts, to use your phrase.
Mm-hmm.
They have to provide both.
Okay. All right.
Very clearly.
Okay. 312-981-7200. You had a question that you wanted to bring up.
Well, no, I just wanted to provide more information.
Oh, okay.
Under the Illinois Personnel Records Review Act, because now it's really expanded in terms of what you can get when you request your personnel file.
What is it, a personnel file? Good question.
It is a really good question. Good job, John. So you have all the usual stuff, like if you filled out an application, all the stuff, sometimes you're going to get some compensation and benefits issues in there. But now what a company needs to provide, which is very helpful to me, is anything, any kind of policy or procedure or agreement that was used or applied to my client for any sort of job, termination of a position or
discipline. Explain that again.
Discipline.
You lost me.
So if the company relies, or has a policies or procedures or handbooks or whatever it is that an employee has to follow, and they say, for example, later on, you're terminated because you violated
X, Y,
the policy,
yeah, okay.
Right? Then I get to see what it is that they're claiming that my client violated.
Well, they're just a highlighted portion of the...
No, you get the whole thing. You get a whole policy, like the employee handbook or code of conduct. Oftentimes it's in the code of conduct.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So instead of just your personnel file, you have a right to all these other documents that are very helpful to me when I'm determining whether your termination was proper.
So you can say, I not only want my personnel file, I want the up-to-date employee handbook of guidelines that was in effect when I was in my job.
Yeah. And if the company is saying they use that information for discipline, for termination, for anything, they have to produce it.
Okay.
That's a big deal for me.
Well, that would be helpful, right?
Very.
Because your first question when someone comes to you and says, I was fired for X, you want to know, was X, were you told you couldn't do X?
Yeah, I want to say, right. How do you know?
What sort of evidence do companies have to show, or is it in the personnel file, to prove someone violated a rule? And I guess what I'm saying is, this isn't a court of law. It's not like your boss has to have beyond reasonable doubt, right?
No, that's correct.
So what is the standard for that? Is there one, or is it you know it when you see it?
Well, I mean, in a civil case, it's the preponderance of evidence, right? It's more likely than not, essentially, that was the reason. They use that policy, et cetera. But what I get to do is sort of pick it apart. You know what I mean? Say they didn't know about the policy. The policy didn't apply the way you said it did. Or, you know, the person didn't violate the policy because of X, Y, and Z. It's really something else. So you have to sort of poke holes in what the employer is saying is the reason for the discipline or termination. But then you also need to prove what was the reason that you're asserting discrimination, retaliation, harassment, any of those protected categories that we were talking about, John, which is a very long list and getting longer.
Yeah, for sure. I always wonder about what you're able to pull away from employers. I know that a letter can get you certain places, but if you aren't able to get the information you're getting, the next step is a lawsuit, right?
Yeah, and then during the discovery process, you'll get all of it. You'll depose people and get all the documents, emails, text messages, voicemails, you'll get it all. I think, honestly, a lot of it is, you know, I can get usually enough to make my argument. Sometimes it's harder than others, but based on my experience, I'm in this 32 years. And so frankly, if I see or hear something, I'm like, I know that's not right. And then you just have to do the digging. And frankly, you'll get enough typically to prove what you need to show in a demand letter and for that negotiation. It is more difficult, John, obviously, than after you sue, where you have a right to all of it.
Okay. 815 wants to know, I've worked for the same company for 6 years. It has over 100 employees, so this is a big company.
Yeah.
We only get vacation time. We don't get sick time. Is the company in the wrong?
If they're here, they are now, yes.
In Chicago, you're
yes,
saying?
Yes, they have to. They have to provide sick time now.
What if it's in the suburbs?
City of Chicago. City of Chicago.
So there is no state law for sick time?
No, I don't think so, no. I just know that there's city laws.
Okay, so, and I asked, followed up, like, how many hours do you
yeah.
work? They're full-time. They're 40-hour a week.
Oh, yeah. Are they here? Are they here?
I'll follow up. They're gonna hear what you're saying right
okay.
now, then they're gonna text back in.
Sure.
I can guarantee that. Because that's almost unheard of these days. Now, do companies try and get away with this by saying, we're giving you blank hours of PTO, use it how you see fit? Like, it could be vacation, it could be sick, it could be whatever.
You know, I would say the vast majority of companies have sick time. They really, really
yeah.
do. It's unusual for me to see a company that does not have sick time.
They're in the X suburbs, far away suburbs.
Mm.
So, yeah, we'll tell you what. Why don't you look into that a little
sure.
bit more? We got a break. Poor Julie. She just emailed me back. She's like, we are not moving.
Oh,
in this traffic.
I feel badly for her.
I know. That's
it's really frustrating.
If she's not driving, I'm going to... Julie, email me back. I think that her and her husband, Rayford, who runs STG Law with her, they're an amazing couple. They're really great people. If you're driving together, Julie, we'll call you on the phone so you at least get on a little bit here. We'll vibe with you. Why don't we take a break? Why don't we sort things out on our own end?
Sure.
Why don't you look into that thing,
sure.
Patrick Dolan?
Sure.
And we'll just kind of juggle here. That's what we do on the radio sometimes.
Okay.
Patrick, let's clear up one thing. We had the texter calling from southwest suburbs, far
yeah.
southwest suburbs, wondering, my company gives me 40 hours PTO. Are they also required to give me 40 hours sick time? In the city, yes, there is now a delineation between these two.
Right.
For everyone else that's not employed in the city, what are they doing here in Illinois?
So the Paid Leave for All Workers Act allows workers to earn up to 40 hours of paid leave each year, and you can use it for any purpose. So although there's not a designated sick leave law, that you do have hours that can be used for sick time.
Okay, so if the company says that these are 40 hours PTO to use how you see fit,
mm-hmm.
that's fine. The company's in legal standing.
Yes.
But if you call in that morning and you're sick and they say, well, we don't have sick time, then they're in the wrong.
Yes. Under the Paid Leave for All Workers Act, you have that time to use as sick time.
Okay. Patrick, one more text just came in for you. 773, regarding sick time, my company offers PTO, but not sick time. We are able to use PTO to cover the hours we call out sick, but we still accumulate points that count against us when we call out sick. I work in Burr Ridge. Is this legal? These point systems drive me insane,
Patrick. Yeah, I know. Me too. I would love to talk to that person. Generally, no, it's not. You know, if you're being discriminated against or retaliated against because you're using sick time or designating it as sick time, that absolutely could be illegal.
All you are asking for is people to lie ultimately to you.
I don't
you.
Understand, like, why?
You're
what,
sick.
What is,
who cares?
What is the point? Right. What's the point?
You give people the time. They're sick. They use the time. Why would you deduct points from
know.
That?
Doesn't make any sense
people
to me.
People get sick.
A lot.
Sorry, I should get off my soapbox about this.
No,
Patrick,
you're right,
what number can people reach you at?
312-332-7800.
312-332-7800. Call Patrick Dolan. That's how you reach Karen Conti, too. That's how you can call them and see, make them arm wrestle, see who wins. It's